Welcome to Sojourn Discipleship. At Sojourn Community Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, we are committed to helping you flourish with friends because life is too precious to waste.
What is up, Sojourn family? Pastor Rusty here, and we are in month 2 of Sojourn Discipleship, where we're sharing practices this year to help you and your life group grow in your love for Jesus, and you're going to enjoy this one. It's an essential practice that will go under the rest category on your rule of life, and if you have no idea what a rule of life is, be sure to check out last month's episode. And without any further ado, this month's practice is a weekly Sabbath. Sojourn, we hope you enjoy the episode.
We shared last month how back in 2016, my family was overwhelmed with grief. And then also, we were overwhelmed with just the demands of life. And I would imagine that some of you may be able to relate to those feelings. 2020, right, has brought a lot of grief. Has brought a lot of demands. And as I think back on that season, and you know, I'm even in this year feeling some of that, and you're feeling some of that, I just remember hitting a wall. I remember also not really understanding or knowing how to own and to honor my own personal limits. And so instead, I just pushed through, I tried harder, and I worked harder, right? And I would try to take a day off, but yet, lo and behold, every time I would, work would creep its way into my day off. I was burning out, I was miserable, and I did not like the person that I was becoming. Can anyone relate? Have you ever been there? And it was at that time that I discovered really what a true Sabbath is. I had heard of the concept, I had studied the concept, but I was always kind of confused by how do you actually do it. And as I began to gain clarity around how to Sabbath, Jesus began a healing in my life, and I still experience that healing even today. My family and I, we've been practicing weekly Sabbath for 5 years now, and I think we may have missed 2 weeks out of those 5 years. I can't remember specifically, but those are the ones that I do remember. That's not because we're like super disciplined as a family. It's because we just love it so much. And my hope and my prayer for you is that you'll grow to love the practice of Sabbath also. Why are we emphasizing this? Well, first and foremost, we have to acknowledge the Bible actually places a lot of emphasis on Sabbath. It's the only spiritual discipline that makes it into the Ten Commandments. I think that's fascinating, right? You then get Exodus chapter 20, where the command of Sabbath is attached to the creation of the world. God worked 6 days, he rested one day, and that rhythm of 7 day week has been built into the very fabric of our creation. That's a big deal, right? And then in Deuteronomy 5, you get the command of Sabbath attached to salvation. So there we see God rescues us from slavery, and what does he do? He frees us into the rest of the finished work of Christ. Man, that's also a really big deal. We can see in many more places in the scriptures where they teach us the benefits of practicing Sabbath. And if you missed Pastor in Training Nick Pacioreri's sermon on Sabbath a couple weeks ago, I would encourage you to go check it out. You can hear many of those benefits there. So the Bible encourages us to practice Sabbath. Yet most of us don't do that. So for the rest of our time together, we're going to look at what is a Sabbath, what keeps us from Sabbath, and then how do we guard the Sabbath and keep it holy as the scriptures teach us to. And that's an interesting idea, that one day of the week is holy, right? You can think of that as it's special or it's set apart. Much like your toothbrush, right? Your toothbrush is holy, if you realize it or not. You don't let your family members or your friends or your dog use your toothbrush. You don't clean your toilet with your toothbrush, right? It is set apart with one purpose, and that's to clean your teeth. And that's it. And if you're doing anything different, then you have other problems that we need to talk about, right? So it's holy in that it has a specific set apart purpose. So what is the purpose of Sabbath? What is a Sabbath? Here's the definition that we'll be working with. A Sabbath is 24 hours to delight in God and his gifts, and his good gifts, all right? We're going to roll through and break that definition down and look at each individual part of it. So first, a Sabbath is 24 hours. I personally lean toward a pure 24-hour Sabbath. That's not to say that if you're like, I can't do that and I'm going to just like Sabbath a specific period of time, that doesn't mean that you're wrong in that. It's not a right or wrong thing. I lean towards 24 hours though. And the reason that I personally want for myself and for others to work towards 24 hours of rest is because our hearts are deceptive above all things. And I have found that when we are motivated to shorten our Sabbath, oftentimes that is coming from a place of sin. And what I specifically mean by that is from a place of the sin of unbelief. So you just have to be honest with yourself on this point. You have to ask, are there legitimate obstacles keeping me from 24 hours of rest? Or am I skimping on 24 hours of rest because I'm not trusting God with all of the undone things in my life? Now, please hear me. There are certain obstacles that keep you from 24-hour period of rest. Maybe you're traveling. Maybe you have an unconventional schedule. Maybe you're going to need to get creative and be like, I don't have 24 hours together, so I need to break it up into blocks throughout the week. And for some, a huge factor is kids, right? Or really any consistent responsibility that you can avoid. I mean, there's some work that cannot just be stopped. There's some work that has to continue and you can't take a break from it. However, after 5 years of Sabbathing with small children, I want you to hear, you can do it. It's possible. Now, you have to get creative. And also part of that is we have to shift the way that we even think about Sabbath and our categories for how to do that. Fascinatingly, Hebrews 4:11, when it talks about the Sabbath rest that we enter into in Jesus, this is what the author of Hebrews says. He says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest." And do you see the paradox there? You have to work to rest. And I love how Justin Early describes this in his book, The Common Rule. This is what he says. Listen to this. Proper Sabbathing is much more about doing than not doing. It's about doing restful things. In this sense, real rest takes work. I love that line. That's so helpful. Real rest takes work. So yes, Sabbath is ceasing your work, but that does not mean that you get to become a consumer for 24 hours who just binges on everything. No, what it means is that you take a break from your 6-day-a-week work, and then you have one day where you do a different type of work that leads you into rest. So what is the work of Sabbath? Let's look at the second part of that definition. A Sabbath is 24 hours to delight. Now, the Hebrew word for Sabbath is Shabbat, and it means to cease. That same Hebrew word can be translated as to delight. So God, he worked 6 days, and if you remember, at the end of each day, God stopped. He Shabbatted. And what did he do when he stopped? He delighted in the work that he did that day. And then on the seventh day, God had a time of super delighting, super Shabbatting, where he just totally stopped for the whole day to enjoy and to delight in his work. And it's the same for us. We work hard 6 days out of the week, and then we take one day to stop and delight. On the seventh day, as John Mark Comer says this, I love how he puts it. He says, we stop working, stop wanting, and stop worrying. I love that. Let me share it with you again. We stop working, stop wanting, and stop worrying. And I really appreciate how he starts out his chapter on Sabbath in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. There he shares with us really this idea that our desires are infinite and that they will never be satisfied with finite things, right? You will never stop longing. You will never stop desiring. And he goes on to talk about how God's given us one day out of the week where we can focus on resting. And really that idea of delighting, right? And when we hear that, we don't need to think delight means getting more or getting new experiences, but it's really this idea of choosing and learning contentment in what you already have. And here's the thing about delight. We think of it as being automatic. We think of it as just, you know, coming to us out of nowhere. But delight, true delight, takes work. It takes time, and it takes focus. So think about that with me. If you're going to enjoy a piece of art, or a conversation, or a piece of cake, right? What do you have to do? You have to focus, and you have to savor it. And that's a great word when you're thinking about Sabbath. What are you getting after on this day of delight? You're getting after savoring the day. And this is where I think folks begin to misunderstand that 24-hour piece, and they'll say things like, I can't Sabbath for 24 hours because I have kids or because I have roommates who rest in different ways. But here's the deal. Please hear this tonight. Sabbath is not leisure. It's not 24 hours of leisure. It's 24 hours of delighting. And so we need to rework our categories for what a Sabbath is, especially if we're sharing our Sabbath with other people. So for my family, when we do our family Sabbath, beforehand every week, we say, what would be restful for you this week? And then each family member answers that question, and then we work to try to help each other rest. Now, there are some Sabbaths where my kids want to play with Legos. And let me tell you, sitting on the floor playing with Legos does not feel like the thing I want to do the most in that moment, right? It feels like work. However, I can choose in that moment, I can strive, I can work to delight in my kids as they delight in their Legos. Let me say that again for you. I can choose to delight in the delight of my children, right? So I can work to delight in helping them to delight. And doesn't that sound a lot like the words of Jesus when he says it's way better to give than it is to receive? I mean, I know it's radical and it's hard for us to think about, but like, chew on this month, right? You don't have to be at the center of delight in order to delight. You really don't. And in fact, it's oftentimes better when you're not. So what should be at the center of our delight? Well, let's look at the third part of this definition. A Sabbath is 24 hours to delight in God. Eugene Peterson, talking about a day off, talking about weekends, he called a day off a bastard Sabbath. way to go, Eugene. Like, he comes through again, right, with beautiful descriptions of things. So he calls a day off a bastard Sabbath, meaning it's the illegitimate child of this concept of biblical Sabbath mixed with Western culture. So on a day off, on a weekend, we do unpaid work, and then we also do some fun things. So we need to distinguish between the two, a true Sabbath, a biblical Sabbath, and a day off. So some characteristics of a true Sabbath is, yes, you first and foremost stop paid and unpaid work. Second, it is, yes, you do activities that are enjoyable and are life-giving and that you can delight in. That's certainly part of a Sabbath. But we can't miss this last piece, that a Sabbath is a day to focus our delight in God. Now, this does not mean that you become a monk for an entire day. I talk with so many Christians who they confuse the practice of a Sabbath with the practice of silence and solitude. And I actually went to a college, a Christian college, where they encouraged, I could even say enforced, a weekly Sabbath. And yes, it was not a Seventh-day Adventist college, by the way. But in this college, you know, their idea of a Sabbath was, this is 24 hours of silence and solitude, reading your Bible and praying. And for most of my classmates, myself included, that was not very life-giving. And I struggled with this idea of, like, how am I engaging with this whole thing called Sabbath? But you know, as we process this idea of focusing in on God, we absolutely must have some time in our day of Sabbath where we're focusing on the Lord, we're delighting in Him through word and prayer. In my family, we say, hey, it's Jesus time. Break out your Bibles. We're going to pray. We're going to have this time to specifically do some spiritual disciplines in word and prayer. But we also have to broaden our categories here to realize that you can enjoy God as you're enjoying and delighting in God's world. And not only that, but God wants this for you. And that brings us to the last part of this definition. A Sabbath is 24 hours to delight in God and His good gifts. So friends, it is totally appropriate for you to plan and prepare activities on your weekly Sabbath that you enjoy, that you delight in. And the reason that's appropriate is because God loves you, and God wants you to enjoy His world. Isn't that an amazing thought? I mean, isn't it incredible to think about that? Process over the next month as you're talking about and thinking about Sabbath, that a Sabbath is really at its core a day for you to feel the Father's joy and delight over you as you enjoy Him in His world. Isn't that a beautiful thing to think through? So figure out what energizes you, what refreshes you, what brings you life, and then plan to do it. And also figure out what energizes, refreshes, and gives life to your family or your friends, and then help them do it. And as you enjoy God's good gifts of food, drink, conversations, naps, play, mowing the grass, whatever it is, as you enjoy those good gifts, and as you have that experience of delight where you just say, oh, this is good, in those moments, turn that, oh, this is good, into a thank you, God. Thank you. And find yourself just thanking God all day long. And as you're enjoying the gifts, enjoy the giver as well. So closing thoughts here as we go into some conversation time. This is hard for us to wrap our minds around, but delight is difficult. Delight is hard work. We'd rather the cheap imitation of binging, buying, or burying our emotions than we would to step into the challenge of delight. It takes patience, it takes time, it takes work to delight. And if we're honest, it kind of freaks us out when we get the real thing. When we experience true delight in God and His good gifts, that is a gift of grace. and we are uncomfortable with grace. We like the idea, we like to talk about it, but we would much rather earn favor than receive it for free. And so we sabotage grace in our lives, and we also sabotage Sabbath in our lives. So learning how to Sabbath is really learning how to receive grace gladly. And that takes great effort. That takes a lot of work. So you're going to have flops as you go on this new adventure of having a weekly Sabbath. You're going to have times where you think, this is going to refresh me. Lo and behold, it depletes you. It's not actually helpful. You're going to have times where you slow down and your thought life picks up with negative emotions, with worries, or with bad memories. And all of this, please hear, is part of the practice. Keep Sabbathing. Keep adapting. Keep tweaking it. Keep striving to enter into the rest that Jesus has purchased for you. Keep coming back to delight and keep helping others to do the same.
All right, folks, there you have it. Over the next month, we would love for you to live out this practice with your life group. And to help you do that, be sure to check out the show notes where you'll find the scripture for reflection, life group questions for this month, and some other suggested resources. Sojourn, enjoy the process, and peace be with you.